Welcome to We Are Libertarians Daily. We are the hosts of the Boss Hog of Liberty, Jeremiah Morrill and Dakota Davis, coming to you with a piece of our episode that happened this week.
Today's episode is going to be a piece of our episode, number 86, which is about straight ticket voting all across the United States, and specifically talking about our races here in the state of Indiana and how straight ticket voting affects our lives and what needs to be done to try to fix that and fix voter turnout issues.
The Boss Hog of Liberty podcast is about our lives in rural Indiana. It's always a fun listen. It's a really easy listen. And we're going to join that in progress right now.
Oh boy, I should have put my makeup on.
So, so we did a surprise election results show because we just got bored. I literally shared a status on Tuesday night. We were sitting around here at about 11 o'clock, and next thing I knew, Dakota started turning the cameras on, and we did a live show. We didn't promote it. We didn't tell people we were going to. We thought there was going to be a huge crowd here, and early in the night, there were probably 50 people in this building.
Yeah, this place is packed. It was awesome. So I turned the cameras on because Josie Thompson,
Danny's significant other,
yes, she came up to me and she said, Jeremiah wants to go live. And I was like, oh, okay. So I started setting things up and you were like, are we going live? I said, yeah, you're the one that wants to. And Josie goes,
yeah. So she talked us into it. Not 5 minutes before that, her 3-year-old was running around here,
yes,
playing with our soundboard,
and he kept trying to play with it.
It sounds better today now than it ever does. We needed his gilded tongue.
We need Will here to run the audio side for us. He can be our young Jamie.
I've had the post election cold that comes on. So I felt like death this morning. So I'm happy that I have a voice at all. I literally like whispered out to Sarah this morning. I'm waking up. This is how much the podcast is on my mind. I'm like, I hope I have a voice for the show tonight. that's all I could muster.
A voice. Yeah. You said, we were in a group chat with Chris Spengel and you said the show must go on. I took 3 emergencies.
Yeah, my entire day I've had like 3 emergency packets and like 8 ibuprofen and I've been pounding the waters.
Let me tell you guys.
But I made it. I'm here.
Henry County sucks. Okay, Jared, you said, hey, come to the party. It'll be fun. We'll stay a little late. When you said late, I was thinking 9, 9:30, 10 at the most.
Yeah, I was not expecting. We did the primary election show.
Yeah.
Audrey had the whiteboard. Dakota and I were sitting there, and we sent you to the headquarters.
I was at the Republican Party.
And that one took a little
where
while
you
for
belong,
results to come
you
in.
Rhino.
I'm the boomer. Like
correspondent.
Yes. I'm the boomer golden child. They love me.
I would
have been in high school.
I can't wait until we make it big time and Chase is doing our White House briefs. Chase is our Jim Acosta. He's karate chopping arms.
So we had the election night coverage back in May, or the primary coverage, not election. Remember that it was the primary. We thought maybe they would come a little late, and they had one place that didn't report, and it took forever to get numbers in. We were sitting around here watching. California was closed, and we didn't have Henry County results. We sent Zach Lee, and I think Danny Morrill and John Phillips went up to the courthouse at one point, and Chris Guffey, he wanted to work behind the scenes. I mean, we made him work behind the scenes.
We have been making him work behind the scenes. That's a big shout-out to Chris Guffey. He's been doing everything for us.
If he keeps playing the card right, we'll let him into the senior staff chat on the show that actually plans everything. Not like that freeloading Chase who just barely knows. Are we still recording tonight? He messages that at 6:30. Is this still a thing?
Hey, I show up. I'm dependable.
You're here. So we sent Chris Guffey down there, and he, instead of getting to hang out with us and have the party, he just basically spent time at the courthouse just standing there watching them count votes.
Yep.
And by 11 o'clock, 11:30, I don't know if they paid $1 a page or not, but we actually got election results.
Yeah,
from the courthouse, and we don't have the precinct by precincts yet. Those will be published later, and we'll have them. But statewide, we'll talk about that a little bit here. Things we talked about and watched and covered. We had U.S. Senate candidates on back in the primary.
Yep, we had. Yeah, we covered the U.S. Senate Republican primary pretty heavily. I went to the debate there, and as we all know, Mike Braun won the primary. And he came out ahead as well. by about 4,500 votes. Is that your Pokemon Go speaking at
you? No, it's so Chad Malicote just messaged me. He said I was heard on WIBC last night. I said, what a show. Apparently on Hammer Nigel, our buddy Rob Kendall was on, and he said that my third party race, I should be the model. The model of them should be this guy out in Henry County named Jeremiah Morrill. So
there we go.
I missed it. I have to go back and listen to the podcast, but Rob's throwing us some love, man.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So Mike Braun ended up winning the U.S. Senate race. He won by about 4,500 votes here in Henry County. 4,500 votes here in Henry County only. Henry County voters picked him 61% of the time. So we had nine people write in a candidate for.
I think they all wrote in Christy Avery. Spangle said that if you don't like somebody, you're supposed to write in Christy Avery. So we can only assume that Christy Avery, Category 5 superfan of the Ball Sog Liberty, was the write in. Lucy Brenton wound up with 4% in that race. Statewide, Tara Klutz has been reelected as the auditor. She won 56-40 over Jocelyn Whitaker and John Schick. The Libertarian came in with 3%. Big race for the Libertarians, the Indiana Secretary of State race. That's our ballot access race. Yep. For us to exist as a party, we have to have at least 2% of the vote. We cleared that. Mark Rutherford got 3%. We were hoping for more, but we were still alive for four more years. Connie Lawson was reelected 57%-40% over Jim Harper, the Democrat.
The big thing about that race with Connie Lawson being elected, in 18 months, she is going to have to resign as Secretary of State because of her term limits.
Yeah, the county Republicans, their Facebook page shared something saying, you know, celebrating that Connie's there. And I was just wondering if they've announced who's going to replace her already since she's constitutionally term limited.
Yeah, she is. And it's kind of, it seems kind of ironic to me that she would be, that she would still run. The person who's in charge of elections for the state would still run for a race where she can't fulfill her full term. So with Connie Lawson, the Republican governor, which will be Eric Holcomb, will be picking her replacement, not the voters. So I think that is pretty significant to point out. But yeah, like you said, we are still on the ballot, so that's always great news.
That's right. So on the county level, the races that we watched, obviously, were the county council races. Peg Steffendell did win big in that race, 70% or so. She won that one. And then last Friday night, we had the special show between Chad Malicote and Robin Reno Fleming. And Chad picked up the win. That was probably the biggest upset of the night, or the biggest surprise, the biggest change of the night. Did you?
I did.
Yeah. You live in that district.
I told you, Jer. I was like, you know what? Chad's got this in the bag.
Do you?
And you're like, I don't know. I don't know.
I said,
he does.
Man, it's a tight race.
It's a tight race.
We expected it to be tight. And it was only a couple hundred votes. But I think the story of the night, or the surprise of the night for us, was the absolute turnout for the straight ticket voting. That was kind of the surprise I had. You know, when I did the analysis of my race ahead of time, knowing it was an open seat, you know, I ran 4 years ago, and that was kind of a baseline for me, and I got 17% of the vote. And I said, okay, if I got 17% now, that's 400 and some votes. If I can double that and a little bit more in a three-way race, that gets me to 34%. You kick in a couple more votes, 36, 37, 38, somewhere in there, I could win. That was the logic that I had going into the race. The county went out and bought the new election equipment.
Yeah.
Spent a little over $700,000 on 190 new machines, and the straight ticket voting with this new equipment, it jumped up 17%, which I was not expecting. But if you looked at the straight ticket voters from 2014, 37% of the people that voted took a straight ticket ballot. 2016, it was 39%. In 2018, it jumped all the way to 56%. So more than half.
It's important to point out as well that during presidential election years, straight ticket voting is usually a lot higher. So it only jumped 2% between 2014 and 2016. So Henry County is kind of an anomaly in that way. But still, the numbers make sense to me to point out that, yeah, 17% is not just a coincidence, especially in a midterm year.
So we had this new equipment, and Cade, you're here. You voted on Election Day.
Sure.
And I assume you didn't do a straight ticket, or didn't try to do a straight ticket, or you undervoted some races. Mm-hmm. Tell us what it was like using the equipment.
It's at first, I mean, it was like any other year or previous years in 2016. when you go to, it asked the first question, which was the state question, the referendum.
That was the, yeah, the, whether or not they were going to amend the Constitution for some balanced budget thing.
Yeah. And then it went to what straight party you wanted to select. And, of course, to split the ticket, to go through and look at all your options instead of picking straight ticket, you had to hit next. And then when you hit next, it would prompt you like you made a mistake, and it said that the ballot wasn't complete. And you have to hit next again for it to go
away.
The next screen.
Or you could go back and make a selection.
Or you could go back and make a straight party selection.
And right, you could go back and amend your ballot
before
you submitted it.
Yeah.
And we started to hear that from the early voters, people saying, you know, this is a little confusing. And I saw it myself. I should have taken a picture because we've been kind of struggling trying to find the language
time that I was in there voting, it took me a little longer, of course, because I went through all my options.
Yeah.
But everyone around me was asking the same questions or stopping and asking an attendant, you know, how to go straight ticket or how do I go back and do this or does this screen mean that I made a mistake? Am I still going to be able to vote? You know, everybody seemed really confused on what was going on.
So we asked on our Facebook page if anybody had any stories. And without even prompting, I put out a status on the Boss Talk of Liberty Facebook page that said, did you vote during the midterms? If so, we want to hear your story. Without prompting, we got a ton of comments, a ton of direct messages from people who were saying that they found the straight ticket very confusing and they had trouble. Quite a few people said that they voted straight ticket because they thought that their vote wouldn't get counted if they didn't. Mm-hmm. So it's not uncommon, and I definitely think that that contributed to it because, I mean, think of three people asking just while you're there to vote. How many people they're just very agreeable people, so they don't want to bring something up or ask questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of those people just went ahead and went, oh, I guess I have to click one of these, and they click Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, whatever, and just went on, you know, it.
And then considering the turnout that we had this year, it seemed like there were a lot of new voters this year that had never voted before.
Right.
And even though it really is, it's an easy task, it was just a very confusing one, it seemed like, this year. And I think it was really intimidating to a lot of new voters, especially.
Oh, incredibly. And the first time you vote, you're always very nervous.
Yeah.
And it's very intimidating. You stand in this long line of people. No one wants to talk to each other. Because of what you're there to do. and I'm
here to overthrow the government. I need some peace and quiet. I don't need you looking over my shoulder. I'm here to revolt.
And then you go into the ballot box, and it can be very intimidating from the start, and then you throw confusion on top of that, and it's not a good recipe for success for individuals or government.
What was your experience like, Chase?
It was great, Jer. I woke up that morning. And I was like, oh, I got to rush to get to work. And then I rushed to work. Then I got off and I was like, oh, man, I got 5 minutes to make this happen. And I was like, I'll do it 4 years from now. Hey, listen, the guy.
Why didn't you just stop in Catas on the way home?
Listen, the guy who I wanted to win, I knew he had it in the bag. I was like, he doesn't need my vote. He's going
to
win.
The guy you wanted to win was Mike Braun?
No. I didn't look into that race at all. I'll be honest. I'll be honest with you guys.
Did you need more information? Needed more commercials?
Yeah. I didn't want to vote in a race I wasn't informed on. I feel like that's a big problem with politics. A lot of people aren't informed. You know how many friends I had post on Facebook that day that said, ooh, vote Republican, vote red. But they couldn't name one person in that local election.
Yep.
Yeah.
You were more educated on the local ones than you were on the statewide.
Yeah. And I didn't even vote.
Well, that was the other big issue with straight ticket voting is a lot of people get caught up in what they see on the nightly news or going around their Facebook and Twitter feeds, and they go in there and they think, wow, look at how the Dems screwed over Kavanaugh. Yeah. I can't let that happen again. So they
let the national tribalism put a lens on local politics.
And so the evidence that we have with that is the fact of is Trump's coattails, right? Because Trump can go every single race that Trump went to the state and campaigned for that person, they won that race. That's direct evidence that we have of national coattails in local and statewide offices.
Mm-hmm.
So wrapping up this straight ticket voting thing, and my strategy wasn't counting on the massive voter turnout. The numbers I had more votes this time than I did in 2014, but my percentage went down because the turnout was so much higher. And then, like I said, the straight ticket voting did go up. I was expecting to have a very legitimate chance to win, landing at 12%. Man, that was not what I was expecting. But at the same time, you look at the results across the state, and across the country for libertarians, we were very competitive. But when you look at the straight ticket numbers, and it's not making excuses, it's just the reality, 56% of all people this time took a straight ticket ballot. 70% of the voters that did that selected that Republican button, mm-hmm. which meant that generic Republican in any race had 39% of the vote. In a three-way race, that's a winning number before you start.
Oh, yeah.
That's the reality of it. So, if you don't like the straight ticket voting and you think that we need to be looking at individuals, you have to realize that Indiana is one of only eight states that have straight ticket voting.
That was eight?
Eight.
I thought
Indiana,
it was nine.
Alabama, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Texas, and Utah. That's it.
Weird.
That's it. And Texas is getting rid of it in 2020. So it'll be seven states by 2020.
What is that? What is Indiana?
Indiana got rid of the straight ticket voting in the at-large races in 2016. So
I didn't realize it was that new.
Yeah, it just happened. So the 2016 race that Jesse Riddle was on the ballot for at the Henry County Council, that was the first time that a straight ticket vote didn't count in a county council race.
Which means you actually have to go and select it.
Yeah. So for 2020, that is the best opportunity for third-party candidates is in the at-large races, which are the council races.
Right.
So just looking at that, obviously, if you're a third-party candidate, whether you're a Green or you're an Independent or you're a Libertarian, mm-hmm. the county council races are the ones to target because they're at-large in Indiana. This is almost like a cold beer on Sunday issue in Indiana.
Yeah.
Or Sunday sales of alcohol. We are that much of an outlier.
One thing I would like to point out that I've seen some confusion on when people talk about maybe getting rid of straight ticket voting, it's not that anyone wants to get rid of your ability to vote all for one party.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No one.
Some people are thinking that they're getting that confused. It's if you want to, you still go through and you
can make
mark
any choices you want to.
You want. It's still up to you. There's no control as far as that goes that anyone's trying to get.
We're in an information age now, right? So you've got information on all of these candidates, and you've still got a party label next to it.
Yeah.
But we're now in this digital box where the straight ticket voting is going up. In addition to, this tribalism that's going on, we're doing it electronically. So the machine is asking you to go back and acting like you made an error. Oh, you forgot something. Go back and select fill in a box. When we had paper ballots, you could check that box if you wanted to, or you could just skip it. There wasn't positive reinforcement or negative reinforcement to go back and say, hey, you meant to do that.
Right, and I don't even remember this in the 2016 election.
The box was there, but it wasn't. It was not the entire screen jumping at you like
this. it's a pop-up, and it's got like the little exclamation mark hazard sign, and it's like you're leaving this section blank or whatever, and you're like, oh crap, you know. And it even threw me off. I went back and I was like, wait, no, this is a straight ticket screen, like I don't want this.
So our numbers, we wound up at, we'll call it 12%. It was like 11.97. we'll say 12% because, you know, we can round up. At least I can have that, right?
Yeah, let you have it. Let it slide.
So a comparison, Gary Johnson was about 15% as the Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate in New Mexico. He was obviously the Libertarian candidate for president the last two cycles, and he was the former governor of New Mexico, so he had won as a Republican. He got 15% of the vote in New Hampshire, in New Mexico without straight ticket voting. They actually had the Secretary of State tried to add straight ticket voting back this summer, and it got thrown out by their state Supreme Court. New Hampshire, the place with the Liberty LARPers, Dakota.
Yes.
It's obviously a relatively small state. They only have three or four electoral votes. But they have a general assembly or a legislature with 400 members, okay? So their races for state house are very close to what we have for a county council race in Henry County. There's a guy named Brandon Finney who was elected in 2016 as a Republican, and he left the Republican Party, joined the Libertarians, and he had to run for re-election this cycle. It did not go as well as he had hoped.
The Reason article in the headline states that he got slaughtered.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to pull this up one more time here. I had it ready, and then I switched off the screen. So I did a little analysis. I took his numbers. And I'm tapping.
I think that's the wrong chat.
It is the wrong chat. You have any idea how many group chats I live in? And then the day after the election, everybody messages you.
I think you just missed it. There you go.
Not that one.
I thought it was.
No. We're looking. You guys carry on without me for a second.
Okay. Anyway, this guy ends up losing in the New Hampshire state house race, and he did get slaughtered. His actual voting numbers and his percentage was less than what Jeremiah's race was. But what was really interesting, I think, to a lot of us was that their state house race garnered less votes than our county council race.
Here are the details. So Brandon Finney wound up with 10% of the vote. The Democrat actually campaigned and worked. He got 42% of the vote, and there was a Republican that just put out yard signs, and he got elected with 47%.
Sounds familiar.
There were only 30. Now, in my race, listen, everybody worked hard. Everybody got to every door.
I wasn't talking about your race. I was dogging Greg Pence.
Oh, yeah. generic Pence. So there were 3,600 votes cast in Finney's state house race. There were 4,100 votes cast in the District 1 race. So there were a whole lot more votes. There were 4,100 votes in District 1. There were 2,500 votes in District 2.
Wow.
Yeah. And 4,700 in District 3.
So in 2016, there was roughly the same amount of voters in District 1. But 2016, of course, was a presidential election, and voter turnout's always a lot higher. So it was on par with the presidential election, our midterm turnout was, which is pretty impressive. However, with that being said, the voter turnout was still only 52%. So, and that's of registered voters. Of the population of Henry County, it was actually only 32 or 33% of people in the county came out to vote, 52% of registered voters.
Yeah, those people who didn't suck.
They should have, their car batteries ought to be dead tomorrow.
Which I think
maybe they'll have flat tires.
You should go key their cars.
Yes. I should, Chase.
But I, have a
I think that's another thing that's plaguing our republic as well, is low voter turnout. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that just everybody needs to go out and vote, because that is also a horrible decision. Yeah. If you're going to go out to vote just to vote, then stay home. Absolutely. If you don't know anything about the people that are running or about the issues, then your vote doesn't carry weight, or at least it shouldn't, because you're making an uninformed decision that impacts not only you but everyone. So I think that, which has always been the goal of this show, is to try to inform people before they head to the polls. And I think that in the age of the internet and the amount of technology that we have now, it has never been easier to become an informed voter, to just simply look. Without the lens of partisanship, without the lens of, oh, I'm so angry because the Democrats did this.
National politics.
Yeah, you just look at things. I think people, read the newspaper,
people
for
see
God's
the,
sake.
The party, and they think, you know, if this person's a Democrat, then I don't agree with them. But
if
a Democrat
you want,
here
yeah.
is a conservative
in California.
California.
Yeah,
so
yeah. John Gregg would have been alt-right.
Just Jeremiah's race. Jeremiah had tripartisan support for the area because
Absolutely.
Not people aren't that far apart.
If you want candidates to continue to run and go through the effort that Pat Kronk did, that Ken and Gray did, that I did, then the voters owe it to them to look past just the tribalism and to actually run. Or else you're going to end up with more races where you have one candidate for county clerk, one candidate for county commissioner, one candidate for sheriff, one candidate for recorder, one for auditor, and nobody's going to try. Because it's a whole lot of work to raise that money, to do the work, to go through the effort, and then 40% of the vote goes to one candidate, one party.
Yep.
Yeah, Brad Brewer is in the live chat right now, and he said 1/4 of our population shouldn't be deciding the results for everyone, which is absolutely correct. Here in Henry County, with 52% of registered voter turnout, and with, you know, 50%, let's say, for a two-way race to win, that's 1/4 of the population that is deciding the person who's going to make decisions to impact everyone's life. Mm-hmm. That's not how a representative democracy is supposed to work.
All right, so we're going to leave that portion. We'll transition out, but that will probably be in the Wall Daily. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but